Because if it's 10,000, listen, I want the whole city saved. And I only need 7,000 people to come here. I'll sow three into every other church. No, no, I'm just kidding. I only want the people that are here that belong here. Listen, your pastor's crazy enough that I have met people and we've done street stuff and all kinds of stuff. And your crazy pastor has said to them, hey, you got saved with me, but is there a church you know where someone goes through that you think a lot of? Oh, yeah, this church. Please go there. I just want them in the right place. I want them in the white family because I want them to maximize their potential. Now, unfortunately, for all of you, I think it's because God loves you so much. I don't know what it is. But unfortunately for all of you, someone said that this beautiful little lady and this handsome little black man, Kenton, is a city. Oh, my goodness. 8,262. Wow. I still need 7,000 of those. So I'll sow 1,200. I'm just kidding you. I'm just being funny. But 8,000 is the number of new beginnings. Whew. Christ was circumcised on the eighth day of his life because his blood had I think it's, is it vitamin K or whatever that is? K. Woo! I'm not a medical expert. Listen, if the Lord don't give me a revelation, I don't know what I'm talking about. You already know that. So I'm only talking from the realm of God. Hey, if you want real information, see that lady. She knows a lot more than I do. But here's what I want you to know. Boys, his K vitamin and the proteins in his body on his eighth day was stronger than Jesus had ever been. It was a confirmation that he was so full of life that nothing could stop him and nothing could stop him. And he got circumcised that day and he healed faster than any other day he would have. And that earmarked a new beginning and the transition of Jesus headed towards who he is. I'm telling you, you better understand that you are in an eighth day approach to this thing, and you better be ready to run. Give the Lord a hand clap. Now, I'm going to finish this up and talk to you about ordination in the next couple minutes, because I will tell you this. This is what's powerful. As I was sitting there seeing God do all this and him speak about what he's ready to do in this city, I will tell you that that man handed me that key. He said, I think you need this key. You should have it. And all of a sudden, a bunch of kids came around me and took a picture. He did not know that I was on a fast praying for God that no more children in Kenton would ever be abused, would ever commit suicide, or would ever feel like they were orphaned in our town. And I was praying, God, even for children that do not have parents and families, raise up hearts that would just bring them in. And if they will adopt them, it'll no longer be an adoption. It'll be a transference of them into a biological family, that their bloodline will be shifted to that of a believer and they can live a glorious life. I was right in the middle of a fast dedicated to that. Now, I said that to say this. God has already done some amazing things, and I can't tell you the amount of things that are opening up and happening even in this last week, even since we made our declaration. We're going to have to get on to that next week, because your pastor in his zeal ordained you without giving you enough doctrine information to know what that really means. So the first thing I want to tell you is, I'm not taking it back. Woo. I did not make a mistake. All I got to do is clarify. You're accountable to what you heard last week. And I'm going to tell you right now that the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. Listen, that's why the kingdom of God works. A brand new believer that's only been saved an hour, and they are still not understanding what they should do, but they gave their heart to Jesus. If the rapture comes, they're going up. Someone who's 6 months into this thing, if they're just doing what they know to do, they're going up. And us long-termers, who's been at this thing for a while, we're going up. Hurry up, men, lock the doors before I make this next statement. So if you don't want to be accountable to what I have to say, run out of the door now so you can escape. You better not. You're already accountable. You're already ordained. It's probably better for you to learn what that means. Okay, now, yep, perfect. The Lord is a redeemer of time. I want you to understand something. Ooh, he better be, because I've been running my mouth, huh? Amen. Hey, I heard too quick agreement with that. You know, last week I said, hey, can you guys give me 5 more minutes? Or do you think I'll go longer than that? And everybody said, I plead the 5th. Thank you. Anyhow, here's what I want you to understand about what this really meant. What did it mean for pastor to say, I'm ordained? Well, first of all, I want to take some of the fear out of this, because I want you to know that ordained is used often in the Bible in situations that will apply to us. Because first of all, it means that if you're ordained, it means to properly, to set properly. It says to establish in particular office or order, ministerial function, and this does speak to pastors, but it also speaks to evangelists, and it also speaks to every other order within the church, and it even speaks to the individual believer who is set aside. Now it means to appoint and to declare. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I can't wait. I got a scripture here that's really going to help us. But it says, praise God. First of all, I just want to remind you, no, you are not pastors. Someone say amen. Amen. No, you do not have to do marriages. And even better, you do not have to do funerals. Praise the name of the Lord. You do not have to counsel anybody. You do not have to hear things that are beyond your understanding or your story. For example, I know people who used to come up to my son and try to talk to him about a marriage, and he'd say, okay, do you see who I am? I'll talk to you about lots of subjects, but if you want to talk marriage, go see my father and my mother. I ain't married. I ain't dealing with that yet. Go talk to them. Praise God. You know, we need to be careful that we're not trying to out there doing something that we don't need to be a part of. Amen? But that's part of the liberty that you have. You have the right to function in what you know to function in. But what did it mean for me to ordain you? Well, the best way for me to start unfolding this is to tell you that, first of all, I didn't ordain you. God did. When you got saved. Because the true root of ordination is to be called out and set apart and set in order for a destiny that belongs to you. Remember, Romans is the book, not Pastor Field's book. Romans is the book that said, not only have you been called, but you've been called into salvation by God himself. And not only were you called, but you have been justified. That means you've been cleansed by the blood. You've been made new. And then this is where he puts it on you, and you can't get away from it, and you can't whine about it, and you can't pretend, and you can't stay carnal, and you can't stay in your own mind, and you can't stay in my experience, and you can't just stay where you want to stay, because he said, not only have you been called and justified, but you have been glorified. That means that you have been anointed with a power that's not of yourself, it's from God. By his grace are you saved. It means that God has done something for you that you can't do for yourself. The Bible says this, that you in your own strength can forgive no man. But in Christ Jesus, you can forgive the unforgivable. You can forgive and get yourself set free from darkness, abuse, sexual molestation, violence, wrong words, anything that you have went through. If you can start to forgive in Christ, whew, Pastor Phil, I can't put up with your loud mouth. In my own power, But I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And listen, I expect you to give me and Pastor Regina some grace on this thing too, because it's not our fault that this church is filling up. The anointing's calling people here. So as a pastor, the first time I shear you, Jamie, I might be a little rough with my clippers. So I might get beyond your wool and cut your skin a little bit. I promise you, I'll stitch it up. It'll bleed a little bit. But just forgive me till I get better with my shears. But what I really want to tell you is, what does it mean to be ordained? When you got saved, you crossed over, because 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that not only did he save you, but he made you a new creature. In other words, before you were saved, you were carnal. You were body, soul, and spirit. Fleshly, carnal-minded, we were thinking on our own power and our own stuff. But once we get saved, you got flipped. Now you're spirit, soul, and body. And now you have an accountability to live out of your spirit, not just your soul. You know, if you look up scriptures that relate to being ordained, you'll find out that one scripture related to ordination is 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourself approved. Well, wait, that doesn't mean, it doesn't mean you're a pastor. It doesn't mean anything. It means that now that you have been saved, you are ordained, set apart, or appointed to live through the word now, not your own way. Some of you are having problems in your marriage with your raising your kids because you went to God and prayed till you got your husband, prayed till you got your wife, and now you're in easy mode. You ain't picked up a scripture since you've been married, and you're wondering why your household is running crazy because you asked God to give you a supernatural marriage and a supernatural blessing, and now you're not applying scripture, not applying faith, and you think God can bless your mess. Woo! To be ordained is to be set apart. To be ordained is to be appointed. Now let's read some scripture so you can receive this, because then I got to lay it down on you just for a few more minutes. We're almost there. Hope I haven't sheared you too bad for today. But I'm just going to give you what the Word of God says. Shut up, Pastor Phil. Just give me the Word. I'm about to. Whew, I love it. When I get to shut up and decrease, then God can increase, and then you're even more accountable. Let's go to John chapter 15, please. The words in red, that's what Jesus said. So it's one thing for you not to like what I have to tell you, but you better love what Jesus has to tell you. John 15:16, is it up there behind me? Not yet. It is now. Instead of me just reading it here, I think I'm going to read it here so we can all be accountable to what it says. Oh, Jesus is speaking. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And what? What? Set you apart, appointed you, challenged you, put you in your proper set place, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. I want you to know something, that once you're saved, you are ordained to live Jesus' way, not your way. Amen. Hashtag just getting started. Yes. Woo. And you are ordained not to respond in your stinking flesh. Don't you dare send a stench up to God's nostrils. When he says that you could give him a sacrifice of praise or a holy sacrifice that is so sweet, it goes up to God like a sweet-smelling aroma. I want you to know, your drunk alcoholic breath can't send a sweet-smelling aroma up to God. I want you to know that your cussing mouth can't send a sweet aroma up to God. Well, I've been cussing all my life. Yeah, you've been meant to be saved all your life too. And you've been chosen from the foundation. And after all you did and the bad mistakes you made, the only reason you're still alive is because of God's grace. So why don't you just go ahead and accept it and walk all up in it? Well, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've done. Well, let me tell you something. Some of you, I have prayed for you and said, God, is there anything they're still guilty of? And if you ever want to know if I prayed for you and asked, just come and see me. And I said, what are they guilty of? And the Lord said, nothing. I said, yeah, but they were just telling me. He said, I don't know that about them anymore. Yeah. Said, it doesn't exist. I said, but they said. He said, go tell them and read what Paul said. Paul killed Christians. Now, it'd be one thing if I was thugging out on the street. Listen, last week I told you about a dude who had the nerve to say I had Mike Tyson voice. We were in the bar. I popped him so hard that he fell on the ground, and he got so knocked out. This stuff they don't show you on TV. He got so knocked out that he lost control of his body functions, peed in his pants. Jeans got all dark. And I reminded him. I said, brother, I might sound like him, but I hit like him too. I said, you should have paid attention to the Hershey commercial about kisses, because big things come in small packages. No. Woo-hoo! And my big punch looked like a small package, but it came with all kinds. I used to wear sweatshirts on purpose. I got to just tell this story. I used to wear sweatshirts on purpose because I looked like this little meek dude, and guys would push on me into 220 pounds of stone-cold 6% body fat muscle, 375 to 425 pounds of benching, 225 pounds of arm curl, 600 pounds of leg squatting, and boom! It might come from a small stature, but this small of a stature hitting you in the chin, it's going to do something at that place. But anyhow, I only said that to you to say this. Remember, the city of Kenton is only 5 miles square. That's the number of God's grace. And I tell you what, the anointing in this city, not just in this church, but other churches, in your prayers, in your life, and what you start to give God, it's going to go to heaven like such a sweet-smelling aroma that cancer is going to get set free. People are going to be healed. Destinies are going to be changed. And in the kingdom of God, this five-square-mile city is going to pack such a wallop that we're going to be able to tell Satan, you should have read about Hershey Kisses, brother. Couple more things on ordination. Are you starting to understand a little bit? Jesus said, you did not choose me. I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. Don't bring a bunch of apples and grapes up in here next week. This is spiritual fruit. We should start to see people coming to church because you brought them. You encouraged them. We should start seeing people's lives change because in this world, the Bible says that when people around you look for what is the hope in you, you're going to be able to tell them, I am living in the same crazy world you are, but my hope is in the Lord. Therefore, I'm not shaken. Whew. Therefore, I'm not worried. Therefore, I'm not scared. Because again, you've been ordained, set apart, and empowered, and you have a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. So if fear is ruling you, the first thing you need to do is say, devil, you were found out today. This fear in me is not mine. Don't come up to me and say, my anxiety, my fear. You are trying to claim something that don't belong to you. And if you'd unwrap your lips around it, it would go. Oh, come on, I'll dig into that later. I'll train you more on that later. But listen to this, real quick. You don't do anything real quick, Pastor. I try to do it quick enough if I can. But it's more important for me to get it right in your spirit. Remember, you are so changed that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Now, don't be asking God for crazy stuff that's not in the Bible. He says you have not because you ask not, because when you do ask, you ask amiss. Lord, I want a good wife. My neighbor's wife is so good. I see her out there working in the yard, doing all kinds of good stuff. Oh, Lord, let her become my wife. Quit cursing yourself. That package was made for somebody else, and you better be glad, because if you got it, you wouldn't know how to handle it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, I just pray, God, that I just win the lottery. Oh, Lord, anoint me to win the lottery. Give me the right numbers. Well, he may or he may not, but I'll tell you what the Bible says. Get your tail up. Your gluteus maximus. I won't say the word, but that's what it's called back there. It's called a gluteus maximus. First of all, it's the strongest muscle in the human body. It's the quickest recovering muscle in the human body. It was made to take a smack and get healed up faster than any other place. But anyhow, I'm just telling you, get your gluteus maximus up, because the Bible says that a person that shall not work shall not eat. Amen. Quit looking for a government handout. Quit looking for a paycheck that you didn't earn. Get yourself up, because you are anointed of God for a vocation and a call that only you can perform the way God wants you to perform it. I was going to the hospital yesterday, and I was going to visit somebody, and a young lady walked by me, and I said, whoa. I said, you are who you are today, but in the past, you were going to do something else. And she said, how do you know that? I said, because the Lord just wants to encourage you for who you are as a nurse today. She said, you know what? At one time, I wanted to be a veterinarian. And I said, that's it. God loves your compassion on animals. Go ahead and pet them. Go ahead and own some. Go ahead and feed some. But he said you were gifted to be a voice to patients in the hospital, because you're saved and you pray. And when you touch people, you don't just give them their medicine in the natural. You pray over it and believe that the healing power of God will be a part of that cup. And she just started crying. She said, how'd you know that? I said, because Jesus just wants to give you a confirmation of who you are. She said, you aren't going to tell anybody in there, are you? I said, no, our secret. And I walked out. But listen to this. Real quick, I got to tell you about who you are. Can you give me five more minutes? I said, can you give me five more minutes? Amen. Ooh, a double portion of grace, wholeness. I tell you, God can move within that. Someone said take 10. But I think I can do it in 5 or 7. Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Listen to this. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resist the power, resist the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Do you know that every person born in this earth, this is why I hate abortion so much. Because we have put calls and giftings and purposes out of function before they ever had a chance to come forth. Now, if you've been through that, hey, don't you dare condemn yourself. First of all, you got someone in heaven already waiting for you. Should encourage you to live. And God can cover any of the mistakes we make like that. Don't you dare walk under condemnation one way, shape, or form over that. Your baby is safe, and thank God in a way that they didn't have to go through what we went through to get there. But listen, there are calls, gifts, and purposes that don't even get a chance to come forth, but you have got the chance to come forth. So if you've been abused, mistreated, hated, rejected your whole life, don't live up under that. Just start breathing and thanking God that, hey, I got here, and that means I have a purpose, because the Bible says it is the will of God, ordained, set apart purpose of God, that every person on the face of the earth should be saved. Woo! So you have something in God. Don't you dare let no boy or no girl steal your purpose. If they loved you, they wouldn't be asking for stuff they should have no right to unless they marry you anyway. send that chump down the street. I hear some girl right now, the Lord is telling me, you're dealing with chump status. If he was a man, he wouldn't be trying to pull you out of church. He wouldn't be overlooking your convictions and ignoring what you told him about who you are and trying to prove that he can get at you and beat his chest. I got a girl that says she go to church, but she comes and sleeps at my house, and we ain't even married. Sometimes I try to keep her out of church on purpose. But I do like how she prays and cooks for me. Wow. Stinking devil, I curse you in the name of Jesus. You're removed from her life in Jesus' name. Whew. Ask somebody, sometimes when I pray for you, you'll get kicked out of your house because you're in the house with someone who takes drugs or does something that you shouldn't be doing. Before you know it, you'll get kicked out of your house, you'll lose your job, your head will be spinning, and I'll be shouting behind your back because then we're going to do it God's way. Amen. Now listen, so these things are ordained of God. Here is your ordination. I already gave you one, John 15, 16. But look at this right here. Whew. Acts chapter 13, verse 48. Wow. 40, the blessing of a generation. Whew. Oh, I mean 30, 38. Whew. I want you to see what verse 38 says. Be it known. Did I get the right thing? Oh, I'm sorry. It's 48, not 38. See, even I screw up. This is where you got to give me some grace. Amen. But look what it says here in verse 47. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles. Thank you for that confirming word, Philip Walker Jr. That thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Whoa! When you got saved, you got ordained. When you got saved, you were set apart. Huh. Now you don't belong to yourself. That's the blessing and the responsibility. Because now yourself has to shut up. Because you have been bought with a price. So now your voice don't matter. Your brain don't matter. Your attitude don't matter. What you think and what you learn culturally don't matter. It don't matter what people have said to you. It don't matter what people have told you. It don't matter how people have treated you. Because now that you're set apart and you are redeemed and you belong to God, the only thing that matters is what he's going to speak to you now. That's why you are ordained to study, to show yourself approved, so you can get an unction from the Holy One who will tell you all things about yourself. That's why in Psalms 139, it says that in my book are your members. Stand up here for a minute, Jason. Do you remember the day I stepped you outside and said, Jason, the Lord just spoke to me and said that this is not who you are. You're a man of God and faith, and there's some things that you're believing that you can get through and you can change and you can be transformed. And I didn't even know that he was thinking in his mind, well, I did this to myself. I'm this big because of what I did. I'm this way because of my choices, and I just want to be saved and go to heaven. But God spoke to me and said, Jason, you are living in an alter identity, and this is not who you are. And he said, amen, Pastor, I receive it. And from then till now, this guy is how much lighter?
200 pounds.
200 pounds lighter. So he is less than half the man he's ever been and more the man he has ever been before. His weight wasn't even important to God, but it was important to him. And it was stealing his identity, so he might as well go ahead and walk with his bad self. Remember, the black culture, bad is good. Okay, get up here. Here we go. Are you ready to accept your ordination the way I really gave it to you? The best way to receive your ordination is from Jesus himself, amen? Now you know that you have been set apart and appointed. Next week, we're going to look at the 70. Wasn't just the 12 disciples, people. And it wasn't just those called to be apostles, pastors, and preachers and teachers that saw miracles. I want you to know that the Bible says that it was just a certain believer, a man by the name of Ananias, and he went over to Paul, and not only did he lay hands on him to be healed of blindness, but he laid hands on him to help him walk in the power of who he became. Ananias didn't even write one scripture in the Bible. He was talked about for a few scriptures, but he didn't write a scripture. But the important thing is he laid hands on a man who wrote three quarters of the New Testament. Yeah. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Yeah. The next couple weeks, we're going to be looking at how many people, moms and just certain disciples and people, were ordained to proclaim the things that came to the kingdom. Oh my gosh, I got to repent because I went 10 minutes over my 10 minutes. But here it is, Mark 16, Jesus declares that after he had risen, his part was done. And in one scripture, he blessed them, prayed over them. But in Mark chapter 16, 15, it says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now listen. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Oh, it'll follow the pastors, the evangelists, the people super anointed, the people that have lived perfect, the people that have never sinned, the people that have... No! The people that believe and give their heart to the Lord and get saved, it says that in my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God, and because they were ordained, because they were appointed, and because they were set apart, and because they were willing to do what the Lord told them to do, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Look what happened to them. They had to do it on their own, by their own power, and they failed multiple times. No! Would you read the scripture? It says, and they went forth preaching everywhere, not just in the church. They preached at work, and not by just preaching out loud, just by hymning and praising and serving God. See, some of you can just say, yes, boss, whatever it takes, and you're preaching the gospel. Some of you can just be to work every day on time early, humming and singing a little bit under your voice. You're preaching the gospel. Some of you can just walk down into Walmart, and because everybody else is frustrated and mad, you say, oh, man, please go. I got time. I'm just spending time with the Lord. I'm just thankful for my babies. And let them go in front of you. You are preaching the gospel. And we're going to look at this more next week. And went forth and preached everywhere by themselves. Oh, no. The Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Listen to me. You are ordained in your household to be the man and the woman of the house. You're ordained as a mother. You are ordained as a father. Siblings, you are ordained as a sister. You are ordained as a brother. And you guys don't have to be like every natural child and fight every day. In fact, why don't you go to your brother and say, brother, I was praying for you, and this is a scripture God gave me for you. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. And he might say, sis, I was praying for you, and the Lord told me, because of your meek spirit, you shall be an example to everyone around you. Woo! Why don't we have sister and brother relationships like that? We could, but we're so carnal, we don't even teach our children the ways of the Lord. We're ordained as parents to raise our children up the way God wanted them to. We're ordained as husbands and wives to lay hands on each other. I will tell you, well, I'll tell you that story later. Philip is ordained sometimes even to tell me and his mother. She can't do nothing about it right now. Okay. Woo. But I would tell you, this one time, I told you about the time where he was in the car, 3 years old. He said, Jehovah Jireh, mommy. We were worried about finances, worried about money, worried about paying bills. Jehovah Jireh, mommy, that means Lord is our provider. He will meet all of our needs according to his riches and glory. But this other time, which I'll tell you this story next week, I promise you, this is a good one. But we were going through a little time and we didn't have no money again, but we were excited because we had sowed and God was doing something and we were out praising and worshiping. And Regina said, honey, I just want some Pepsi and a bag of chips. And I was thinking, man, when I get paid tomorrow, that's the first thing I'm going to do is go buy a Pepsi and a bag of chips. And all of a sudden, little Philip came out and he had a card from his room, opened it up, and God's grace poured out $5. Give the Lord a hand clap. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that I have cleared this up for people. They are ordained. They are believers, and every one of them can lay hands on the sick. They are believers, and every one of them, by the word of their testimony and by the blood of the Lamb, they can make a difference, and they will. Lord, these people will change their finances because they're going to stop speaking death over themselves, and they're going to start putting their hands on the Bible, their hands on their tithe, and saying, Lord, I thank you that we're debt-free in the name of Jesus. They're going to start praying for their husbands and wives and seeing them healed. They're going to start witnessing at their jobs, at their schools, at their workplace, at the gas station, at Walmart, and they will be an example of an ordination that sets people free. And next week we're going to look at those who are appointed as the 70. Praise God. And you are going to do the miraculous, Father. You're changing, you're blessing, and you're bringing forth. In Jesus' name, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Now there's at least one person that I told I wanted to pray for them at the end of service. So I definitely want you to come. But anybody who needs prayer of any kind, we're going to go ahead and release the service, but people are going to be up here doing a little worship music, and we're going to stay here, me and these men from North Carolina, and that fireball behind me. Anytime she wants to come down and pray for anybody, we're going to be here to pray for you and to do anything you need us to do. But I just thank God for you. You go in your ordination. Who now knows they're ordained? Who receives it? If you receive it, stand up. I don't take back what I said. I confirm and reiterate, every one of you are ordained through the blood and the salvation that has set you free. And the Lord told me to declare over you that every place your foot shall walk, you can possess. The Lord told me to declare over you that you are the head and not the tail, that you are above only and not beneath, and that you are more powerful than any devil, any darkness that has ever tried to enter your life. Husbands, fathers, start praying and your children are going to come to the Lord and be set free. Wives, start praying. Mothers, start praying. Uncles, aunts, grandparents, go ahead and pray. Brothers and sisters, begin to pray. And I promise you, the transforming of lives by your ordination into the body of Christ and being saved will make a difference and transform this city and transform your lives forever. Give the Lord a hand clap. And I'm shutting up. I'm shutting up, and you are released. And anybody that needs prayer, we're here to pray for you. God bless you.